Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 29 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Zachar, the Remembering One. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So Lord Jesus, we ask and pray that you'll be with us today. And we pray, oh God, that the fire of God within us would burn and stir. We pray for anointing that can only come from heaven. I pray, O God, for anointing upon your people. Not just on the speaker, but I pray for more on the people than on the speaker. I pray, O God, that the anointing from the people would pull from the speaker the anointing from heaven that you have for us today. We thank you, O God, that you've given us health and life, and Lord, for the distractions of life, we ask and pray that you'll show us that internal switch, that we might cut it off right now for a moment, that we might focus on you, your word, your promises, your way. We pray for all distractions to be silenced, that we might have a breath of fresh air from heaven, that it has to compete with nothing in our minds and our souls and our spirits. Lord God, the pain that is in our bodies, we ask and pray that it'll just be silenced in our minds, in our county, in our nation. Let us be silenced, O God, that we might hear you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Lesson 29 of the scribe, believe it or not, as we're moving forward, and I've been teaching on the scribe on how we operate in faith, and faith to hear God and faith to hear that's to be, or to hear the opportunities from God, that we would know what an opportunity from God is, and that we would learn to say yes to that opportunity. And I've been teaching up to this point how there are some memories that we need to silence, and how a perception is an observation and then an interpretation based chiefly on memory. Now, those perceptions are a tarnished perception or a perception that leads to unhealthy and unhappy futures. And so today I wanted to interject a little bit of the good memory, and that there are good memory that God uses in the prophetic. And we want to be able to distinguish the difference between the unholy memory and or the ungodly and the godly memory, that in our perceptions that we can learn how to alter, to use our memory or to not use our memory. And I'm sure that you can understand that as we move forward here. The way I want to begin this part of the teaching of the scribe, why is it important? What is important about our good memories is our good memory tends to go to sleep, and our bad memory tends to be alive. You know, if you, nobody has ever started a news channel that I know of for good events of the day. I know a few have tried it, but it doesn't last very long. And usually the news is about the bad events for the day. Now, I wonder who created that law that news had to be bad. I don't know where that must be in Journalism 101 or something when you go to college to be a, because when you turn on the news, what interests the soul of man is how bad things have been on the planet today. Well, this happened. Well, that happened. Well, then the news media wants to see who can get there first. Well, I mean, no wonder we're so bombarded with that's negative, and somehow or another we're supposed to raise our heads out of this jungle of bad news and And it's not that the bad news isn't there, but the bad news has an effect upon good memory. It starts to put it asleep. It sleeps. It's there, but it's not worth much because the negative memories will crowd out the good memories. I think that there's a spiritual reason for that. You know, some good news I saw this morning that was released October the 27th, which today is what, 29th? 2 days ago, it was Sean Hannity was behind releasing a movie. The title of that movie is I Saw the Light, or It Was a Bright Light, or what's, does anybody know the name of it? And There Was Light, I think's the name of it. And There Was Light. I thought that's just amazing. That Sean Hannity is behind the production of this movie, And There Was Light. Two days ago, it was supposed to be on the movies. Hopefully we'll get to see that. And to me, that's good news. A movie about the light of God. And I just heard about it about 30, 45 minutes ago. I actually played the trailer as I was riding from the barn to church. I punched it in, and it's a good idea. You might want to watch that, and you can also see the heartbeat of Hannity, of how he embraces the light of God, because he is the one that's instrumental in that. He also did a little interview with a couple of the actors at the end of the trailer. And he said, are y'all prepared for the darkness that will come against you since you made this movie? So it's obvious that he's quite aware of. So here we have somebody on a news platform that's trying to bring some light or some hope on this subject of bad news. In the midst of the bad news, there's some good news. And it's called the light of God. And I thought it was really prophetic on how the name of that movie is about the light of God. I can't remember exactly somebody needs to look. It's going to bug me till I remember it. Look it up, somebody. But it was prophetic to me that he was. And another reason it was prophetic to me is I've got the preaching message today. I've been chosen out of a large raffle to bring the message today. And the message is on to not put your light under a bushel basket. Let there be light. That's the name of it. Let there be light. And I thought, well, this is something. It sounds like that God's trying to speak to at least in my world about the light of Him, and even in a larger spectrum with the movie, that God's making a little point today about the light of God. Let there be light. What is light? And so let's keep that in mind as we move forward. But when our emotions and our memories of things that are good are asleep, then when you are asleep, those memories are in dark mode. In other words, they're shut down. That's the reason they need to be awakened. And this is the power of memory of the prophetic. There again, I've been going over teaching you how bad memories will skew a perception. But then there's good memory that brings light unto a prophetic word. Let's watch. Here's the scripture. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? He will give you light. Now, for some reason, I believe, based on what I've just mentioned here previously, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting us to give attention to the light of the world, the light of God. There's something about today on this Sunday about the light of God. We should be stirred and shaken about the light of God. So he says, awaken you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, I have a responsibility in that scripture. What's our responsibility? To awaken. Christ's responsibility is, if we're awakened, his responsibility is to give us light. The first thing to consider is, could it be that we are somewhat asleep, that we need awakened? And, you know, one thing about the subconscious and sleep, you don't know that you're asleep when you're asleep. You don't know you've been asleep until you've been awakened. Then you know you're asleep, unless you've ever had a dream that you, in your dream, you were asleep. That can happen. Then you wake up and you're in your dream. So you're still asleep. Never how that goes. All right. That's Ephesians 5 and verse 14. So, what is our focal point this morning in the prophetic? It's the light of God. It's the light of God speaking to this earth. And it's the light of God. How does this light shine? First thing we have to do is we have to agree with God to be awakened. So, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that all of us in this church house today and all that come in here, I prophetically declare that we will be awakened. We'll not be in the sleepy stupor, but that we will be, that all apathy would be shaken off, and that our spirits would be awakened to Christ. And Lord Jesus, we're asking and praying for your light to shine in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now how do we awaken out of this sleep? Well, there's things in scriptures that show us that we've been asleep. And in the prophetic, I've had people, you know, say, well, Alan, I just can't get anything prophetically. Well, it could be you're asleep. It could be that you need some awakening. Now, here's where the memory comes in. The memory comes in when we remember our story. Now, this is a good memory, and let me show you how. When you are at the end of a story in your life, it has a happy ending. That's how you know you're at the end of that part or that chapter of your life, of your story. So we all have a story of where we were and where Christ has brought us to. All right, how do I become awakened? First thing I do is I remember my story of where Christ has brought me from to here. You can say, well, Alan, I didn't have a bad history. I didn't have a bad story. Well, you still had a story. And I do hope to goodness that you are doing better now than you were in walking with God. But something happens to us as Christians. The more we walk, the more we forget our story of where Christ brought us from. So what keeps you awake? Remembering your story. What Christ has done for you keeps us awake. We tend to always look and ask and pray for what God's going to do for me, right? Not understanding that the Lord's asking us to remember what he's done for us. It makes you wonder, in that memory, could it help produce a healthy reality of future? The next thing we want to do is remember your story is who you were and who you are. Remember your dreams, for they are who you are going to become. I have I've said this before, that all of humanity that has been born again is on a quest to find somebody. Now, I'm not talking about Christ. I'm saying you've already been born again. But you tend to run from here to there. We want to hear this teacher and that teacher and just to be disappointed. Or from this church to another church just to be disappointed. From one relationship to another just to be disappointed. Who are we looking for is the question. Why do we run searching for this person that never shows up? I want to submit to you that the person you're seeking is who you are to become. The person you're seeking is who you are to become. That's the reason everybody else fails your expectations. Can you hear that? So you need to remember your expectations of others are who you are, what you're seeing is who you are to become. Then when you try to place on who you're to become on somebody else, it's rejected. Why? It's because that's not who they are to become. It's who you are to become. So the person you're disappointed in all the time is yourself. The sooner a prophetic person gets that revelation, the sooner that all judgment falls to the ground. As you discover, it's not the church, it's not this person, it's not this preacher, it's not this teacher. Everybody will disappoint you because they did not meet your expectation. Well, I submit to you, keep your expectations high. But just become that you are searching for. I call it the searching spirit of Scripture. That's a teaching that I've done in times past. Your spirit's always searching for, the Bible says. You're seeking and you're searching. And the one we're seeking and searching for is the one we're to become. The reason that's so important is the greatest thing you'll gain in that revelation is that you will stop judging others for not becoming who you are to be. Are you with me? Does that make you very happy? It should give you great revelation on how a direction to move. Now, that's the part of the dream. Remember who you are going to become. Now, remember that just because you cannot see something does not mean it is not real. There again, I submit to you that the Scriptures and what has happened and what happens in the Spirit is more real than our what we call real. Why do I say that? It's because things of the Spirit last eternally. Things of the natural do not. So I submit to you, which one's the most real? The one that's eternal or the one that's passing away? Can you see the difference? It's that that's eternal that's more real. That's of the Spirit's more real than that you're seeing of the natural right now, because it passes. But eternal things do not pass. That's things of the Spirit. So we want to remember your story. Remember where you came from. Remember your dreams and who you're going to become. And remember that just because you cannot see something does not mean that it's not real. Now, I put these rememberings there, and this remembering will awaken us out of our sleep. It'll awaken your spirit, because all of life is tugging you to be pulled into unhealthy memory. Now, You were created to remember, it says. Now just think about this scripture, Genesis 1:27. It tells us that God created man and woman, what? In His own image. Now, think about it. God created man and woman in His image. Now, could we consider that that is a huge statement? Could we consider that we've been created in the image of God? Now, I do not even pretend to know what all that means, but I know enough that it scares the bejeebies out of me. If I can really comprehend what God's saying there, we have been created in His image. Now, watch this. In this passage, the word man is translated from the Hebrew word zekar, which means the remembering one. Isn't that amazing? Genesis 1:27 tells us that God created the remembering one and the remembering one in His own image. Wow. That's what the word means. So, can we see that our memories can be or were created for our good? But at the same time, can we see how bad events in our life and bad memory is how we have been created? I've heard people say, well, I can forgive, but I sure can't forget. And I've heard people argue, well, you can forget it. And I'm like, wow, I hadn't got that one yet, but I'm working on it. It just so happens we have memory. Now, I want to share this with you. I think that today that it is an onslaught. I believe that cancer is at one of its heights today. I mean, from children to... It has no boundaries. Cancer has no boundaries. It's got to be out of the pit of hell. And there's another one here. Alzheimer's. Dementia. All-time high. What does it attack? The remembering one. Right? Now you can say, well, Alan, why aren't we protected from all of these things? But one thing we need to do is start realizing. I've heard people say, well, the doctor will say, well, do you have cancer in your family? Or do you have dementia in your family? Or whatever. I don't know, but it's sure in the earth. The only thing I can say, if any of those things are following our bloodlines, in the name of Jesus. Now, by the way, His name's greater than any other name. In the name of Jesus, all dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer in bloodlines, we just cancel those out by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I know the pain that comes with coming against our memory. Because we have, now what I was wanting to get on to a minute ago, even when you have bad memory, the Lord can bring a healing to a bad memory. And it's still part of your story, but it doesn't have the pain of the bad memory. It has healing of the bad memory. Have you ever had any bad memories and you feel bad because you don't hurt about it anymore? Anybody had that one? Just because God brings healing to a bad memory, when a bad memory is healed, it can then become part of your story. I'm going to show you as we keep going why that is so important. But just grab hold of this. The word for man is translated the remembering one. There again, test yourself. If we are been created, the word man there in the Hebrew is a remembering one. Did you know that your memory, you can say, well, I'm not going to remember that one. Does it work like that? No. Once it goes into the file, she's in the memory. The only point of controlling memory is what you let in your eye gate or your ear gate. I've had people say, well, Alan, I can watch that, or I can do this. I can watch, do this darkness, or it doesn't affect me. Well, call God a liar is all I know, because you're going to, it's going to be parts of that's going to be in your memory. Now, God's created us to remember, but it's up to us to choose what we remember. Right? So we pick and choose what kind of music we listen to, what type of stories we read. What goes in us becomes part of us, the remembering one. Now, keep that in mind. When we die, we take our memories with us. Jesus died to redeem our memories. Wow. That's an interesting thought, is it not? What do you take with you when you die? Well, we will take memories. I've got another teaching on that that will show you how we want to be sure that our memories have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I hope that when I get to the pearly gates, Peter doesn't give me a broom and say, well, Alan, you're going to have to sweep out some of your rooms before you can come in. I don't want to have a bunch of dirty memory in my rooms. We want them to be redeemed. And yes, that can be redeemed. If you think you can get so spiritual that things of darkness do not affect you, that is pride on steroids. Amen? Now, why were we created to remember? Good question. First, we have something important to remember. Second, we have a reason to remember. Now, remember this in our remembering. Satan and darkness is constantly trying to hijack your memory banks. He's constantly trying to put a virus in there. When does a virus get into your computer? It's when, I'm not sure if that one's got a virus or not. I think I'll click on it and take a chance on it. Right? Usually when you click on something and you have a question and you take a chance on it, you're going to pick up a virus. Same way with life and our memory banks. Well, I'm going to take a chance on this one. It's not going to affect me. Remember, a perception is an observation and an interpretation based chiefly on memory. If you're putting a bunch of darkness in your memory, you won't trust anything, you won't trust anybody, everybody's out to get you. Come on. All of this perception of darkness is being created out of what you're storing in your memory banks. You can feel like you're more of an individualistic person than that. But if you don't hear what I'm saying, you're fooling yourself. Number three, remembering is a repeated theme throughout the Bible. Men are called to remember God by faithfully telling others who He is and what He has done. Now, why would God do that? Have you ever been annoyed by someone that comes up to you and says, you're not going to believe what God did for me this week? Well, if you're annoyed by that, it could be that what you've got stored in your memory doesn't like good news. Because what your memory has been created to store are those things that God's done for you. So as people of God, and we get together, I mean, it's just wonderful for us to run up to each other and say, you won't believe what God did for me this week. A lot of times we just have a critical spirit. Well, they're just stretching it a little bit. They're going a little too far. They'll calm down. They'll be more like me later. We are to remember and tell our children. So God said there's some things that he wants us to remember. Remembering is a created gift of God. Satan is trying to rob this memory. He's trying to circumvent it. He's trying to steal it. You know, it's amazing some people that's had Alzheimer's or dementia, when the memories are, some of the best people that I've ever known have had Alzheimer's and dementia. They're just the best people you'll ever know. And then that memory is robbed and is stolen. What we have to remember is who they were, even though darkness tried to steal it. Because your memory remembers that. Now, we're to remember and tell our children. It says this in Deuteronomy. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget. You see that? Do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart. Let them fade from your heart. You see that? That gives us an indication that these things can fade from our heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. Could it be that when our memories, we tell each other what God has done in our life, that it stirs the memory so that it doesn't fade? Are you with me? When our memories are stirred and we constantly understand we are sharing our memory of what God has done, but it also revives our memory and awakens our memory. Now, in the Old Testament, this is a typical Old Testament meeting. You had worship, you had prayer, and you had people getting together remembering what God had done. Now, that is a typical Old Testament meeting. Worship, prayer, and remembering what God had done. God gave Israel feasts to help them remember each year what he had done for them. Isn't that amazing? So when they got together, that's what they did. They worshiped, they prayed, and then they told at the feast days what God had done. You know, the major feast days was what? Passover, you remember that. God sprinkled the blood over the doorpost. He had them do a feast once a year called Passover, so they could remember what God had done for them. What is our Passover? It's salvation. When we receive the blood of Christ in our life, the death angel then is passing over us. So, we should celebrate our Passover at least once a year. And then the next one was Pentecost. What was Pentecost? That was when God poured out his Spirit upon man. Do you remember when God poured out his Spirit upon you? We're to celebrate that. Then Tabernacles was another big feast day. And Tabernacles was when God's presence would come into the tabernacle, and he would be with man. And God gave them feast days so that they would remember that every year. Now, I'm not just trying to suggest something to you. I'm trying to share with you of what keeps the prophetic alive. What makes a prophetic gift operate and work in a person, in a son or daughter of God? It's good memory. Now, This is what he said in Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed festivals, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. You see that? There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is the Sabbath to the Lord. Now, we all understand the Sabbath to the Lord, but look at it. These are my appointed feast days, the appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. So we see here, he is not talking just one time a year, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. He's saying here that every Sabbath, once a week, set it aside, stir up your memory on what I have done for you. Do you see that? Once a week, stir up your memory on what God has done for you. We can sit in here today and have all of these problems, which I'm sure we all have, and we want God to fix them all, which we all do. But what the Scriptures are showing us is God's asking us, when we come together once a week, to remember what He's done. It could be that what He has done has something to do with what He will do. Right? To be thankful, to stir up a memory of what He has done. See, most of us sit around in life thinking about how we've been cheated, how we've been mistreated by somebody. Right? Somebody has mistreated me. Somebody has taken me for less than I'm worth. Right? So most of mankind sits around with this judgment of how bad they've been treated, when God nowhere gives us permission or even an idea that that is to be our behavior. Matter of fact, he says, sit around at least once a week, remember what he's done for you. And as we remember what he's done for us, to remember that should produce a thankfulness in our hearts. Right? If you truly remember, and you, it's not just words that I'm saying here. If you truly remember what God has done for you, if you encounter that truth, then it will produce in your heart thankfulness. When thankfulness is produced for what He has done, you're not going to sit around moping around with how bad everybody's treated you. You can't entertain mope and thankful at the same time. The two won't go together. So God says, get together at least once a week. Talk about all that I've done for you. It'll produce thankfulness in your heart. And it's with thankfulness that we enter into His courts. Right? It's with thankfulness. So what would happen if lost people came in here today and encountered 250, 300 people, and all of their hearts were full of thankfulness of what God's already done? I can't produce future, but I can be thankful for what He's done in the past. And there's some spiritual connection in being thankful of these memories that produces new futures. We can't bellyache till it gets better. Does anybody notice that? You can't bellyache about your job or your work or your spouse or your children or your church. You can't. Bellyaching doesn't produce mercy from God, and He then fixes it. It just doesn't. I've tried it. It just doesn't work. But thankfulness will. Now, keep this in mind. So God suggested here, and he was saying once a week, remember your story. Just believe in your story and his story. You've heard this before. History means his story. So just believe in your story and believe in his story. It says this in Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Now, King David was saying that, and the reason he was saying that is because it produced something in the spirit. Your life is a story that's being written. Can you hear that? As a prophetic person of God, your life is a story that's being written. Consider this. I've talked with quite a few people in my life, and everybody's got something that they're having a time getting it right. Did you know that? Everybody's got something. Now, some's got more than something. Some's got two somethings or three. But everybody's got something. If you think that if somebody else would act different so you could get over your something, you have been deceived. Because our somethings are not determined by the behavior of others. Our somethings are determined by our reactions to others. The dark side wants you to forget your story. Your story is your life. It's being written. And in our life that's being written, as we are weekly, constantly being reminded of what God has done for us this week. Has this ever happened to you? Something happens in your life this week and you're like, it's just the end of the world. And then about 30 days, you figure out, well, that's the best thing ever happened to me. Anybody ever had that one? Well, it's just about all of life, if you just want to know the truth about it. If you're still stuck in the bad side of your story, you just haven't given it to Christ and let him put the ending to that story. And at the ending of God's stories is always you'll live happily ever after. It's just the way it is. So the dark sides want you to forget our stories of what God's done for us and only remember when you fall and not when you are redeemed. They're again trying to create these bad memories. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Testimony. That's your story. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? Satan. Darkness. How did they overcome him? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony or their story. Can you see why your life is the writing of a story? So when the enemy comes against you, what are you to recite to him? It's your story of what God has done. So if you're in a crisis right now, you want to hand it over to God as soon as possible so he can write the end of the story so you can tell it back to Satan. Anybody with me? Now you say, well, Alan, that sounds kind of elementary. Yeah, but are you doing it? That's the question. By the word of their testimony or their story, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Have you ever been around people? They're telling their story on how bad it is. I'll not ask if you've ever been one of those people. But have you ever been around someone that is constantly telling you the bad part of their story? How do you know if that story is healthy or not? It's if the story has been redeemed by God. You see, God's in the redeeming business. Oh, yeah, He's never failed. Just thought I'd throw that in there. He's never failed. He's in the redeeming business. And He's always wanting to redeem your story. So if somebody's telling you their story, but it is a pitiful story, and it goes on and on and on, have you ever thought about stopping them and say, listen, hold on. Could you tell me the last part of the story first? I want to see if this has got a happy ending or not. If not, just stop it. I can't take it anymore. Right? Now, how can you know? I talk with a lot of people. If somebody's telling me a bad story and it goes on and on, I know it's not been redeemed. If somebody's going to tell me a redeemed story, it's a short story. Kind of like the blind man got healed. He said, well, what happened? One day I was blind, next minute I was healed. I could see. Redeemed. Short story. He didn't go through a bunch of theatrics on how bad he was treated when he was blind. He just said, he's blind, now you can see. Then you might find yourself in the midst of a story right now, and you'd like for it to be shorter, right? What we do is allow God to redeem it. He's not in the judgment business. He's in the redeeming business. Now, your story or your testimony is prophecy. And I fell at His feet to worship Him, and He said to me, see that you do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Of prophecy. Can you see why you're wanting God to write the last chapter of your story? Each week, we come together 7 days a week. At the end of the seventh day, we come together. We want to rejoice in God and thank Him for what He has done. If there's something in your life that you can't rejoice over yet, just rejoice over what He's done. Because it does something in the spirit world that God can redeem the crisis that you're in. Now, the testimony has a spiritual crossroads, I call it. There above the cover between the two cherubim, there are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you. This was in the wilderness, you know, the tabernacle, and had the ark of the covenant. Well, God said that I will meet with you over the ark of the testimony. Now listen, I hope you can get this. In the wilderness, ark of the covenant. In the ark of the covenant is also called the ark of the testimony. And in the ark of the covenant or the testimony, which was the Ten Commandments, over that ark of the covenant, over God's testimony, He said He would meet with you. Here's my point. When you get together and you're thankful to God for what He's doing, when you're thankful, when your testimony is the ark of the presence of God, that's why you can give your testimony to somebody and you can feel God. Has anybody done that? You know what I'm talking about? You give your testimony about what God's done for you, and all of a sudden you can feel God. It's because of this. God says that He will meet with you over the ark of the testimony. The testimony being what God has done for you. Exodus says, put the altar in front of the curtain, that is, before the ark of the testimony. Before the atonement cover, that is, over the testimony where I will meet with you. So as we get together, He suggested and asked us to do it once a week. He said, get together, remember your story of even last week. Tell it to each other. And as you tell it to each other, He says, my presence will be over that testimony and I'll be there with you. Now, there's no need blaming God when we get together on Sundays if we don't feel His presence. The reason is we come in with such unthankful hearts. Do y'all want me to stop before I finish? It's because we come in with such unthankful hearts that God's presence cannot and will not rest on our testimony. You see, when God's presence rests on a testimony, it hits in from the natural to the supernatural. So God's not going to put His supernatural presence on your darkness lest it grow. Anybody get what I just said? He has to withhold His presence lest our stinking, filthy, selfish hearts are supersized. Can you get it? Now, what time is it? Oh, that's good. I guess I heard my dinger. I thought I set my clock, but it was an evangelist friend of mine. He's in Mexico City last night. It was amazing. Salvations, healings, and it hadn't stopped yet. That's a pretty good little testimony. Just come in via internet. So that's a testimony. I want to claim that one for us. It said there, let me see what that said again there. He's in Mexico City. Amazing salvations, healings. 12 pastors and wives got transformed while praying. Something supernatural is happening and it's still going on even now. Amen. Love you and blessings on you. Amen. We receive that. So, Lord God, I thank you for that testimony that you just sent us right there from Mexico City. And, Lord God, we ask and pray, we rejoice and we give thankfulness for that testimony that you just sent us. I pray, oh God, for salvations and healings here today. We rejoice, we give you great honor and glory, and we rejoice, oh God, in the power of the testimony. We receive this testimony and we ask and pray that your presence will fall upon this testimony. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.